Hey, welcome to my daily broadcast. I'm coming to you from my home in France today. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to jump into a brand new series. For the whole month of December, I'm going to be teaching from a brand new book I have coming out called The Promise, The Life of Promise, Living a Life of Promise. We've heard a lot about a purpose-driven life. It's a great book, but I'm going to be teaching about the promise-driven life, about living your life based on the promises of God. Really great and transformative journey we're going to go on. So I want to encourage you to join me every single day as I teach on this. I'm going to be teaching from the Bible, but also really taking you through my journey of faith and inviting you to start your own journey of faith. So let me do two, three housekeeping things before we jump into this. Hey, number one, I do have a brand new book that will be coming out. Should be out on December 13th. And if you're looking for a Christmas gift for yourself or for anybody else, this would be a really great gift that will build somebody's faith and maybe help somebody come into a relationship with Jesus. Again, it will be available from order on Amazon, so Amazon can next day it to you, or you can put somebody else's address in there all over the world and it will get to them in a Kindle or a paperback version. I'll have these in my churches and my traveling ministry, so I really encourage you to get a copy of that book, Living a Life of Promise. Secondly, again, a big thanks as always to the partners and friends of my ministry. Love you guys, love hearing from you every day. If you're not yet part of our partner group, I really would encourage you to join that group. We're connecting a lot more these days on the Twitter or X platform, but if you're interested in becoming a partner, there'll be a link below. Lastly, do sign up for our email newsletter as well. I have so many things going on there. It would take me too long to run through those, but the best way of keeping in touch with our ministry is our weekly email newsletter. Boom! Let's jump into this teaching. Grab a Bible, a notepad, a pen, a cup of coffee or tea, and let's make a start. So let's continue from where we were yesterday. We were talking about the promises of God and the journey we go through from the house of bondage, if you will, the place where we don't live at all by promise. We often go through a season of testing, and God wants to lead us into a promised land or a land of promises. Now, in my experience, what happens is most believers actually get stuck in that place of testing. They come to the place where they dare to believe God for healing or for, you know, breakthrough. It's like they take that promise to the bank of heaven, if you will, and expect and believe and hope for an answer. It doesn't work or appears to not work, and they throw it away. The Bible literally says in the book of Hebrews, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience that you might inherit the promise. Think that through. Cast not away your confidence. That's exactly what so many people do. They throw away the confidence. They throw away God's promises. Maybe they don't throw away the Bible, but they cast away the confidence in the Bible, in the Word of God. Really, what is faith? Faith is confidence in the word of another person and confidence in the ability and the willingness of that person to carry out, to fulfill that promise. If I made you a promise that I would take you out for dinner tomorrow, there's really several things going on. Do I have the money to take you out to dinner? Do I have the time to take you out to dinner? Do I have the ability, maybe a car or is a restaurant open? There's those things. But the bottom line with faith would actually come down to this. Am I a person of integrity? If I said to you, I give you my word, I will take you out to dinner tomorrow, and then I forget all about it. I don't show up. You're there dressed up, ready to go out for dinner, and nothing. I don't even bother showing up, don't even call you. The next day you see me and I'm like, oh yeah, dinner. Oh, I never said that. Oh, I forgot about that. And then that's strange. And then imagine if the same thing happened again and again and again. After a while, you would come to the place where you would say, hey, love Graham, love hanging out with Graham, but his word is not good. His actions, his follow through doesn't match his word. And what I want you to see is, it's a sad indictment really on the church, but that's where so many Christians are, in really in the depths of their heart. We don't believe in our head. We don't believe with our theology. We don't believe with good doctrine. Romans 10 verse 10 says, it's with the heart that man believes. Now, unto righteousness, but unto everything. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. And I want to read a verse here in Proverbs 13, I believe it's verse 12 today, that is so applicable to this situation. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I believe that is an accurate description of where most of the churches today, they have a sick heart. It's not that they are evil, that they don't love God. Well, frankly, the Bible calls unbelief evil. The Bible says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And so often, as I said yesterday, what will actually cause people to walk away from God, to walk away from relationship with God, is actually this hope deferred. We hope for something. We think, wow, God's going to heal my child. The child doesn't get healed, whatever, dies or something like that. We pray for money, the money doesn't come. And our hope turns bad, literally our hearts get sick. And I think there are a lot of people going around quite literally with a sick heart, and you can't believe God with a sick heart. And I want to deal with that subject with you briefly today. I believe probably most of us have gone through that experience, and you may be watching this today, and I can relate, where there is that sickness in the depths of your heart. There's something going on there that says, yeah, I believe God is wonderful, but it doesn't really work. God's promises don't really work. Do you remember when the Lord came to the tomb of Lazarus in John 11? Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary. And I think those guys had hope deferred. They loved Jesus. They knew him. They were probably closer to him than nearly anybody in Israel at that time. And when Lazarus had got sick, they immediately sent message. They sent the quickest messenger they could to Jesus. Come quickly, he's about to die. And I'll bet, you know, as Lazarus began sinking through that sickness, I can see one turn into another saying, we trust the Lord. The Lord's going to show up. He won't let us down. And things got worse and worse. And then Lazarus died. And now they buried him. They've had a funeral. And then 3 days later, Jesus shows up. Ta-da! And you can see in the heart of Martha and Mary, they love him, they honor him. And yet there's a part of them that I think that is actually mad at him. And they're like, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would be alive. And it's interesting. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. One sister is looking backwards saying, if you would have been here, he would have been healed. The other sister is looking forward and saying, oh, I know he'll rise on the last day in the great resurrection from the dead. And Jesus is, it's like one of them saying, you could have done this yesterday. And then the other sister says, you're able to do this tomorrow. And Jesus comes in and says, I am. He uses the name of God, which is blasphemy from a religious Jewish person to use in a way. I am that I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet will he live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. I am. And I believe God is the God of the now. And I believe God wants to heal you of any hope deferred that lingers and festers on the inside of your heart. Yeah. How does that happen? Number one, at times we know we have that hope deferred going on the inside of us. I think at times we acknowledge that. I want to suggest to you at times we're not even aware we do. I think what a lot of us do is we learn to walk with a limp. We learn to function with that sense on the inside of us, well, God isn't really all he's made out to be, doesn't keep his promises. And I think we don't intellectually like that. Usually when that knowledge, it's not knowledge because it's not true, but when that concept, that idea that God is unfaithful gets into our heart, If our brain connects with that, we'll often walk away from God. And often to deal with that, what we do, so that we don't have to think about it and deal with it intellectually, is we brush it under the carpet. Yeah? And really what happens is whenever we get near a similar situation, somebody else gets sick, there's a need we can't fulfill. You know, the similar situation, it's like we get triggered by that. We have a form of PTSD in a way where we go, I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to go there again. I don't want to think about that again. And I believe that's one of the reasons Christians invent excuses. We look at the promises of the Bible, and then we look at our own lived experience, either a personal lived experience or the lived experience of a corporate group in the church, if you will. We look at the Bible, we look at our lived experience, and we go, there's a bit of a gap between this and this. It seems like my experience is lower than the Bible. And I think what traditionally religion has done is we've dragged the Bible down to the level of our experience so that we tear our pages, we play exegetical origami with the Bible to make the Bible try to, we twist it into a pretzel to try to make it fit our experience. And rather what we should do is be honest about the gap, mind the gap between the word and the gap between our experience. What we've then got to do is say, Lord, help me raise the bar of my experience to the level of your word. It's my experience which needs to change, not your word. So quickly, how do we deal with hope deferred? Number one, if you see it, that's good. Number two, if you don't see it, ask the Lord to show you your heart. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. And ask God to search your heart. Search me, O Lord, and know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any way in my heart that does not please and conform to you, your promises, your will, your desired outcome for my life. Ask God to show you. At times, he will pull back the carpet of something that was placed there long, long ago that you've forgotten all about. And yet that very thing can be hindering the answer to your prayer. One quick note about this as well. You know, I love you. You're good looking, but you are not the Holy Spirit. And what I said a few moments ago is ask the Holy Spirit to go rooting around your past, if you will, looking for a lumpy carpet, looking for hope deferred. You don't need to do it yourself. And I've met many Christians who spend years looking for some root cause that doesn't even exist. They're like a blind man in a dark room looking for a cat that isn't even there. So ask the Lord to show you, and then you pass on to him the responsibility of finding that thing if it's there. Okay, step number three, how do we deal with hope deferred? Okay, just think this one through. I would actually repent of it. And by that, I would mean I would bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I have judged you. I've judged you to be lacking in integrity, because that's really what we do. Lord, I've looked at my experience and I place my experience higher than your word. I've looked at your promise and I've looked at my experience and I've judged you and I've judged your word. And that we repent and we say, Lord, forgive me of that. And we say, Lord, take that away. And Holy Spirit is able to take it away. But the basis on which it stays in our heart is when we start judging God. So don't judge God. God is never at fault. Yeah, I'll finish with this, but it is a thing that has really helped me for nearly all of my Christian life. Probably in the first 2-3 years of my Christian life, I managed to grasp hold of this truth, and it's been a constant source of joy and a great foundation as I walk through my Christian life. Here's this simple truth I've grasped. It's never God's fault. It's never God's fault. Many times I'll be in a situation and I don't understand why this is happening, what's happening, is it God, is it the devil? There's many times I don't know what's going on, but like Job, I don't judge God, or I judge him to be faithful. It's really interesting, in the book of Hebrews, it lists the heroes of faith, and you know, although the Bible says many negative things about Sarah, it actually says very positive things in the book of Hebrews. And it says Sarah judged God. She judged the word of God, but she judged him faithful. Faithful is he who promised, and he will also do it. And I just accept this as my basic premise. God is a good God. God is who he said he is. God will do what he said he will do. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And let God be true, Romans 3 verse 4, and every man a liar. And I've learned as I walk through life, if I see an experience that I've had, that you've had, that appears to contradict God's word, I very lovingly reject it. when somebody comes to me and says, ah, Graham, I know somebody once in Alabama who prayed and God didn't answer, I lovingly go, no, you don't. You're mistaken. God has never lied. God has never failed. There has not failed any word which God spoke to the household of Israel. Every one came to pass. Joshua 21:45. Hey, I'm going to finish with an announcement on how you can buy the new book I have coming out. And I'll be back tomorrow with some more teaching on this one. Bye for now. Well, thank you guys for watching this far. Again, quick reminder, I'm going to be back with some more teaching on this tomorrow and a Q&A at the end of the week. I really do encourage you to order or pre-order a copy of this book. It should be out by around about December 13th. So you can get this in a Kindle or a paperback version, next day shipping to you from Amazon. Check out the link below to order the book. And thanks for watching. Bye.